You can smell things across the room.
Well, you can now, too. I mean, we do have three kids, and poopy diapers are part of the equation.
Well, I think that's desensitized me. I don't think I can pick up as much smell because now things don't smell as bad.
Oh, well, not to me.
Yeah.
Still pretty sensitive.
Well, I don't know. Because you can't always smell yourself. You know, you kind of get used to it.
True. No, that's true.
And but I mean, I've just had this shirt on and the kids. And
I do think that there are some people who can smell better than others. Like, I can smell when someone comes in from outside and you have no idea what I'm talking about.
It's really annoying, by the way. Like, the fact that I can be outside in a shirt, come inside and you're like, oh, you stink. I'm like, I was just outside.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything outside. It's nature.
I guess it's a superpower. It's one of the superpowers. Like, having twins is a superpower.
Kryptonite, too. Because then it's like, then there's something always wrong with me.
Yeah. No. Try to fix it.
Well, I put a little Axe spray on just to try to cover it up.
Yeah, that does help.
It's like Wisconsin shower. And in shower, I just threw a little extra Axe spray on just to try not to stink so bad for the show.
Well, thank you.
Notice, but lately I've been driven.
August blooms and Methodist
queen works.
Only occasion.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Welcome to Hey, They Grow Up So Fast with Corey and Camille Heppala.
Do you sleep? That's what I get asked all the time. When do you sleep? Do you sleep? Well, do you sleep?
Do I actually sleep? I feel like I sleep sometimes. But it's just, I feel like after you have at least one child, sleep is never the same ever again. Because then that first 3 months of staying up all night because they won't go to sleep or their schedules are all backwards. They sleep during the day and not at night. I feel like I've never been able to have that nice, sound sleep ever again. It's just never happened since we had Cormac.
Well, you have the opportunity, every now and then you have the opportunity to sleep longer and you just don't, your body's off.
Yeah, it's weird. I actually feel like I'm an infant because I like to sleep during the day. So I sleep really well for naps, but then I'll wake up at 6 no matter what, like 6 or 7. Even if I'm able to sleep longer than that, it doesn't happen. I always tend to get up and then I just lay there.
Mm-hmm. You're a napper, though.
I love naps. Well, yeah.
I've never been a napper until I met you. Well, until I had kids. And it was like, okay, I need a nap now.
Right, because they just wear you out.
Yeah. I'm not like, well, our sleep patterns have shifted too because of work. So like there have been times where, you know, when you're in television, you don't get done until like 11 o'clock or if, you know, when we're on the East Coast, it was, you're not done until 11:35. And so it takes time to get home and then unwind. And so then you're on a completely different schedule. And then I've worked even in sports where, you know, I was anchoring the midnight show. And so then I'm not getting home until, 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then unwinding. So you're just on separate schedules. Then I've done the morning show on TV where you wake up at 2 a.m. And so now we're at a point where I'm waking up at 5 a.m. every day. But I really focus in on sleep. I think really to perform at our very best, you need sleep.
Absolutely. I mean, even kids need sleep. We know that. They miss a nap, they're cranky. So it's just like us adults, except for instead of being cranky, we're just grumpy.
Well, our kids have always been good sleepers. How did you know? Because I didn't know what to do. And you seemingly, it's like you had an eighth sense on it. It's like you knew what to do.
Yeah. Well, I think for us, we were living somewhere when we had our first child where we didn't have a lot of family around. And you were laid off.
It was a great time. Just a great time. Yeah, wonderful time.
And I was returning to work, and I just knew we needed our baby to be on a schedule, just so for your sanity, really. So I was doing it for you. And I did a lot of research and found out I needed to do, I forgot the acronym, but it was Eat, Sleep, Play. I think that's right. And then repeat. So then I started to do that.
ESP. Eat, sleep,
maybe
play.
That's what it was. Yeah, ESP. And so I did that. And all of a sudden, I mean, within a few weeks, he started getting on a schedule. And it just kind of, we got him into the rhythm. I just wish we learned it sooner.
Do you remember, though, like when we first had Cormac, this was November 2014. And do you remember I still can't believe it. Like at hospitals, they literally, you're in there for one day and then they're like, here you go, here's your child. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to keep him alive? I have no idea what I'm doing. They just let you go home with this kid.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's no book or anything.
And so we get home and the little stinker, I mean, he doesn't sleep.
No. Nope.
You know, he sleeps on his own schedule. And so I remember trying to, like, you're on the bouncy ball, and I thought, okay, well, if he goes to bed later, he'll be more exhausted and then sleep. And that's not the case.
No. I mean, it's actually, they have to go to bed earlier is what we found out. And eventually we just started putting him down earlier and earlier. And then all of a sudden it was like 6:30 and he was sleeping. And we're like, wow.
Do you remember early on though, and like we'd have the boppy pillow? You're not supposed to do this, I guess. We'll probably get in trouble for this, but you put him on the boppy pillow and put him in the bathroom.
With the white noise.
With the air vent going on as white noise.
Yeah.
And hoping that would work.
Right. On top of that, we used to swaddle him too, but he loved it. And I kept him like relaxed and calm. I know not every kid likes it, but he loved it. And so I remember he looked like a burrito just on the boppy pillow.
He's bright brown eyes. Just his head, little hair.
Yeah.
And he's on the boppy pillow. He's just looking at you. And he's on the bathroom tile on a boppy pillow.
But then it would work. We'd go back there and his eyes are closed. And he's
the only way we could get him to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, that or putting him in the stroller and walking him around the house in a stroller all night. That would work too.
Yeah.
Well, I do remember putting him in his room for the first time, which is a step, right? As a parent, yeah. That's a huge step. You put him in their room, and is it going to work? Is it going to not? He's in his crib for the first time and just bawling and crying.
Yeah.
And I think the first instinct for any parent is, I got to run in there.
Yeah.
Kind of like, don't go in there.
Yeah.
You will be in trouble with me if you go in there. So, I mean, it's controversial, right? Like the cry it out.
Yeah, the cry it out is very controversial, but it works. And it worked for all three of our kids. I mean,
we didn't really have a choice with the twins. By that point, we had three under 18 months, and it was like, sorry, you're crying. I can't get there.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait. Sorry. And I just remember one day, that was it. They were just like, all right, I'll go back to sleep.
But I remember you putting on like a timer and saying, like, we're giving him 30 minutes to cry it out, which I thought was a long time.
Well, we started low. We started with 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, just wait 5 minutes and then we'll go in there. And then you just keep waiting longer each time. And eventually they figure out just how to cope. You know, it's kind of teaching your child, I think, what life's going to be like, right? Because you don't get everything you want. So early on, they're learning.
You're hitting them right out the womb.
How to cope with life, and that you're not going to always get what you want. You want your pacifier? Well, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, boy.
Hard lessons learned.
It's rough.
At 3 months old.
But there are different cries, too. There are distressed cries where you're like, they are in trouble. Something's happening. There's also like a whiny cry where, you know, there's really nothing wrong. They're just trying to get your attention. And that's what I... After really, there's a lot of analyzing of cries, and there's a lot of it early on, and I'm like, well, you know. But what's funny is you would set the timer for a half hour. It never got to a half hour.
No, never reached that long. I mean, the thing is, too, with the cry it out, why I knew like it was okay is because I knew throughout the day we fed him enough food, and he wasn't hungry. Especially because, let's be honest, this went on till he was 6 months or 7 months old. So we knew he wasn't hungry. He was eating cereal at that point.
Yeah.
He was getting lots of love. I mean, he was always around you or me. You know, he was happy. He was playing throughout the day. Lots of hugs and cuddles. So I knew nothing was wrong. And he was healthy. So when you know, like, okay, he just ate, like, a little while ago. And two, you know that he got loved all day. We played hard all day. He just is trying to see. He's trying to play a game. I mean, that's the thing. These kids are super smart. So they know. They're like, ha, I know how to get to dad. Yeah. And that's what they were doing. They're playing
super manipulators, those kids.
I saw right through it the whole time.
But you got him on a schedule, then napping too. And if it was, if I didn't get him in his crib at the exact minute, I got yelled at.
Yeah. Because you have to be really diligent with it or it doesn't work. Like if you don't stick to the schedule, it doesn't work.
So it's what, three naps a day to start? Is that what it was?
For little kids, you know, like 6 months, 7 months, you know, and then eventually you go down to two naps and then you go down to one nap. And then from there, you just see what your child actually needs. Maybe they don't need a nap anymore. But the key is to be diligent. And then eventually, maybe they don't seem tired. Maybe they're babbling or talking in their sleep. But then you could really just consider it rest time, you know. But they just need to get in the habit of, okay, I know what's coming. I know what to expect. Like, I'm going to have my nap at this time. I'm going to eat at this time. And they're a lot happier that way when they know what's coming. When they don't know what's coming, they get all cranky and upset. And then they're like, I don't know what to do. Am I sleeping? Am I napping? Yeah.
Kids like routines.
I think they like routines. And I think that this is a very controversial topic because a lot of parents think, well, I'm going to listen to what, you know, when they want to sleep. And they just kind of let the kids guide the schedule. But really, to me, I found more success with the schedule because of your situation. If you want the sanity, you want some time to take a shower, you want to make a phone call, you know what to expect too. Like, all right, putting my child down in a safe place at this time where I can go take a shower, I could go eat dinner really quick, because otherwise you're guessing and you're like, when am I going to shower again? When am I going to eat again? When can I talk to my family again? I mean, during the day it gets really lonely if you're a stay-at-home parent, which you were for a while.
Yeah, thanks for reminding everyone. That was I was laid off. I was laid off a couple of times, right? You know, tell everyone about that. My cat died when I was a kid too. She bring up all those painful things. No, yeah, I was home, but I was home. And it was weird too, because as a parent, you know, you're like, you had this like competing narratives, right? Like the worst thing that had ever happened to me professionally happened, and then 3 weeks later the best thing that has ever happened to me personally, you know, the birth of our first child. It was like, wow, you had these two things. And then as time settles in, it's like, you know, I can't be home all day. Like I just could. I'm like, I would not be a great dad if I'm at home all day. Like I would just be okay, you know, I'm just not wired like that. And so I knew, like, I mean, I got to get a job and provide for our family, but it was hard.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I'm not a good mom unless I'm a working mom, so.
Yeah. Well, okay, so white noise. You were talking about white noise. We still do white noise even to this day. I hear white noise and fall asleep because it reminds me of all the self-work, or even like, man, I'm a little tired. I got half hour for a nap. I throw in the white noise, out.
Yeah, I mean, and I think for the kids too, except for Sinia. I feel like Sinia kind of, the white noise does not put her to sleep, but the boys definitely love the white noise. And for us, it's definitely been a trigger to sleep time.
Yeah, it's like Pavlov's dog salivating. Mm-hmm. Do you ever worry though that they're going to just absolutely need it and they're just so trained or so routined with it and trained on it that they won't be able to sleep without it?
Nope, not at all. Yeah, I think...
You didn't even follow up on it? Nope, not at all. Next question.
I'm very direct, I guess, the point. But the thing is, I remember growing up watching TV, and you probably were the same way. I had a TV in my room, which I can't believe I did, because I'd never let my kids have a TV in their room. But anyway, I did growing up, and I couldn't go to sleep without it. I couldn't go to sleep without my fan on. And then as I got older, you just are like, you know, having the TV on is more of a distraction, and I'm not able to actually sleep, so then you just don't have it on. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't think it's a...
It's not that big of a deal.
No.
You have thought you need to start a sleep training business.
I have thought about it. I need to get certified, so if that were ever to happen, maybe I would. I'm still thinking it through.
I would love to see you go into a stranger's house, you know, just a stranger's house at night. Just go in, okay, you know, the baby whisperer. I'm here. I'm the baby whisperer. Get him on a schedule in 2 days and then take off.
Yeah, it would be amazing if I could do that. I think it's a lot to do with trust. But the thing is, I mean, parents don't like to hear the crying. I think
you have to kick them out of the house.
Well, that's the thought. I mean,
You'll be like, will your kid me? Will get to sleep. They'll just cry for 2 days straight. Getting them on a schedule.
Right. We all have to leave the house. So
you know, the schedule thing, though, and I'm with you. All right. So, like, full disclosure, when you know, right away when we first had kids, right, like, I was like, I don't really know. I don't know. Like, are we doing the right thing? And once I figured out that you showed me that crying out worked, it's like, okay, full trust, right? But, I mean, early on, you don't know what's going on. No. I had no idea. Like, you hope it works. You believe it'll work, but you don't know. And thankfully, it did. And now I feel like, man, because all three of them, they've been really good sleepers.
Yeah, they typically go down unless they're sleeping in the same room.
So going back to that original question, do you ever sleep? Well, yeah, like oddly, we sleep pretty well because our kids are, I mean, I don't hate to say the word, but trained.
Yeah, I mean, that does help. I mean, technically, we could go to sleep as early as 6:30 and get tons of sleep, but that never happens because then we're like, okay, finally we want to unwind and relax and talk about the day. Or we just have other things we need to get done that we couldn't get done while we were at work and with the kids up.
That's the key. It's like when you're with the kids or whatever, you don't get anything done. And we don't want to be on our phones or whatever the whole time, but you can't
do anything.
You just can't get a lot done.
Yeah.
And you want to be present too.
Right.
Yeah. So we sleep pretty well. Let's get to the categories. Hey, that was hard. All right. So that's this week. That was hard. That was something that was difficult with the kids. What do you got?
I think the most difficult thing this week was Sevi telling me he was missing his lovey and I couldn't find it. I always feel really excited when I can find their loveys somewhere.
So explain what their loveys are.
So their loveys are like a blankie and a little stuffed animal.
And we call them loveys.
And they've had them since they were little because that was also part of the sleep training. Because it's like, here, you get your loveys and you get to go to bed and snuggle with them. And it even helps for when they're going somewhere that they've never been before. It's like a familiar object that they can have with them to make them feel less anxious or scared. So anyway, Sevi keeps saying to me, Mom, where's my chick? And he has this little chicken that makes a little tweet tweet sound. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find it. And I'm always so good at playing investigator and finding like, if I was Sevi, where would I have hidden my lovey? Because I feel like he hides them.
This guy, he opens up doors and throws them in there. Like all the other kids know exactly where they are, their own loveys all the time. And he's like, he opens up a door, throws them in there. I don't know where it is. So you have to go look for it.
Right.
This is like a game to him
and
or something.
And then I think it's a nice, like, I like challenges like that. So I'm like, well, where is it? And so I started thinking, like, if I was Sevi, where would it be? And I look for it, and I cannot find his chick. So I'd say that's the hardest thing because I can't give it to him, and he's not going to have it. It's been a few days now.
Yeah. Hey, that was hard. On a similar note, as we're talking about sleep this week, hey, that was hard, getting the kids to sleep. So Cormac, our oldest, is at swimming lessons on Monday and Wednesday. And so the twins are here then with me, and I'm getting them down to sleep. And this, mind you, after work and, you know, getting their dinner made and then getting them bathed and putting them down. And on Wednesday night, just a constant battle. You know, they're just sprinting back and forth. They're beating on each other. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot of tears. And you love the kids. They drive you mad. They just drive you crazy. It's like, you know, we're really focusing now because the twins just turned 3. And so we're really focusing in on getting them to listen. So listen. And that particular night on Wednesday, not great. Like,
I had no idea.
They don't listen.
I thought that it was actually better when you take one out of the equation. Usually the other two are pretty good, but not Wednesday.
Huh? Not Wednesday. Yeah, they were just not listening. And so now we do the reward charts. So they got these new reward charts, and one of the categories, they get a star if they do a great job that day. And I warn them, like, you're not going to get your star. You're not going to get your star. Cormac cares if he doesn't get a star. These two don't care. They just don't. They're like, whatever. Yeah. I didn't get a star today. So I don't know. That was hard that day. Mm. Next one, hey, what a win. Again, this is for the kids. So, hey, what a win.
I'd say a win was Sevi not going potty in his pants. I think that was a huge win. You know, he's been so good. We just finished potty training him, but there were a couple of accidents recently. And I'd say this week, him not going potty in his pants or on the carpet is a huge win.
Yeah. We've all had a good win then, because none of us have done that this week. None of us.
Exactly.
Hey, what a win. We drove to my parents' place, 3 hours in the car. This was great. What a win it was. No crying, no accidents.
Right.
So we had to stop and use the restroom once, and we took them out, went potty, and we made it all the way, 3 hours to Perham. And no accidents.
Yeah.
And no crying.
Miracle.
No beating each other up across the car seats. That was a win.
Yeah.
Now, these are for us. These next two categories are for us and what's happened this week here. Hey, you mad? You mad at me? What'd I do to anger you this week?
Oh, well.
Where do I start?
Oh, where do I start? It's not so much mad. It's just sometimes I just want to stay home and sleep and or do nothing. And then sometimes you say, well, let's go out and do something. And I do it because I love you. But deep down, I'm just like, I really wish we could stay home. So it's not that I'm mad. It's just,
we are wired differently that way, where I like to do stuff all the time.
You do. You don't really like to relax. Like, I'm the kind of person, you go to the spa, you go to the beach, and you just lay or just hang, and you're like, I'm done. Reading a book, maybe.
That sounds nice to me, though. It sounds nice, but then once I actually do it for an hour, I'm like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
And I think, oh, I'd love to watch a movie tonight or watch a show. And then it's like, okay, well, what else do I got to get done?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you mad? God, there was one moment. Do you know what it is?
Let me think, because I remember.
Yeah.
I do remember something, and I was just like, wow. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Maybe you'll.
Was it yesterday when I washed our sheets, and they weren't going to be done in time for bed, and like, I get cold. I need my comforter. And I'm like, it's not going to be done by 10. And you're just like, I get cold. And I'm just like, okay, what do you want me to do?
No, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because that was super annoying, too. hey, you mad was the other night when we just got the kids to bed, and I literally had not looked at my phone for like 4 hours, and I just wanted to check the score, and I come out, and again, they're in bed now, and I come out, and you just attack me. You just let the dogs on me. Just, you on your phone all day, every day? I'm like, what?
Yes.
I'm like, what? You're like, would you just check your phone? You're on your phone all day. I'm like, I haven't even had my phone. It's been inside for 4 hours.
Wow, don't even.
And I was just not, that was not cool.
That's
just
a sign of addiction.
Coming,
you don't know that.
After me.
Yeah, I think you being on your phone is a problem. And it's so much of a problem that you don't even realize that you're on your phone. It is attached to your hand.
Oh, well. Guess who hasn't been on his phone this entire podcast?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Can't be addicted that way.
Well, I just don't see you sitting in silence and enjoying a moment without your phone and doing nothing. Not talking, just sitting. I don't see you doing it.
Yeah,
you should try it sometime, though. It's pretty nice.
That was a false attack on my character.
I can't believe how defensive you got.
I was annoyed. But I'm glad you threw out another one that I wasn't going to bring up and had completely forgot. It's
I good. Get cold. Gave me a little sass yesterday. just trying to have clean sheets.
Next category. Hey, are you happy? So what's one thing that made you happy this week?
Well, it was Father's Day on Sunday, and I really loved that you were happy about the card I got you. Because I really thought about it. I'm like, could get you a regular card with no, you know, funniness or no sound, but I actually found this card, and it was, you mow the lawn all the time, and I know you're not like a super, you're not like a landscaper. You're not out there.
You're like, you mow the lawn all the time. It's not great. Let's just be honest. You don't do a great job of it, but you try. So.
And so at this least card with the lawnmower just had the cutest phrases. Do you remember some of them? Like, you kick grass.
Yeah, it's like bad dad jokes.
And that we love you, mower.
Yeah.
Super corny, yeah, but I loved you laughed though.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I thought it was fun. You got a spa weekend for Mother's Day, and I got a card for Father's Day.
That lights up. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hey, you happy? Yeah, we went to a party this weekend, and it was with coworkers, and that just made me really happy. It was I love going to things like that with you. I love you're just, you know, you're so personable. Everyone loves meeting you, and I love being with you during those events because it's just, I don't know, you know, I'm proud to be your husband, you know, and I'm proud that you're my wife, and you just, you're an amazing person, and you represent the family really well. So it was just, it was really nice to, some of the people that we work with were finally meeting you, so it was cool. And they were super pumped too because they thought I had made you up. And so then for them to see you in real life, they're like, oh man, you know, he's not just showing us pictures that he's photoshopped himself into.
I actually got called a girlfriend. I was like, wow, do I look young enough and hip enough to be your girlfriend? That's great.
Yeah, I haven't had an extra girlfriend for a long time. And rate your mate. Oh, this is a good question. We got sent by producer Tony. Rate your mate. Most embarrassing moment with your mate. And this was meant to be the most embarrassed you made your mate or the most embarrassed you were in front of your mate.
You go first.
All right, I'll go first on this one. This is this is pretty embarrassing. Our first anniversary. You remember where we were at?
Yes. Was it our first? Yeah, it was our first.
So it was Woodlands. The Woodlands. It's April 2013. And you're like, let's get a hotel room. We're in the Woodlands in Texas. And we got, and we just went out and had dinner, and I had a purpose. I was just like, yeah, I'll try that drink. And it didn't end well.
No.
And then you were like, you know, didn't even finish your drink. I'm like, here, I'll finish that. I was finishing everything in sight. And when I woke up the next day, I was like really embarrassed because it was like, well, here you'd gone and planned this really nice evening. And I was kind of a mess. And so I felt pretty bad about that.
Yeah. It's just kind of odd. I'm like, why would you? I just knew, like, for me, if I'm drinking, I know, like, what might be making me sick, at least at this point in my life, being as old as I am. But I was just surprised we're mixing quite a bit of different things. I mean, I ordered fruity drinks, and then you were having beer and fruit drinks, and then maybe a little wine. It was all over the place.
I was only 31. I was still learning. No, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Those people out there in their early
30s. They don't know any better.
No.
just a bunch of kids. No, so we didn't really need to go on the play-by-play of it all, but I was just letting you know that that's what I was embarrassed by.
I remember that. I don't really know if it was embarrassing at that time. I'd have to say, I'm trying to think of, so it's really more of a time that I embarrassed you.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that never happens.
Yeah, I just think harder.
Maybe, if I had a guess, maybe in front of your family or something, that I did something, like I said something inappropriate to a family member that made you upset. And it wasn't even inappropriate, like it just was in a way I shouldn't have said it, perhaps, but I didn't know any better, and it made you embarrassed, I'm guessing, but I can't even think of a moment.
Are you a direct person? You gotta learn the Minnesota lingo here.
I'm learning now, but it's too late.
Learn the Minnesota lingo.
Yeah.
Well, I gave you an embarrassing moment, and you're like, well, I don't know. I got nothing. I'm not really that embarrassing.
I'm not. I barely say anything. I feel like I'm more of the observer. I sit back and I watch. And oh, he goes, Well, if you have a story, then you should bring it up.
I actually don't have a story, but you
at least you're not gonna share it.
Yeah, I'm just glad I was open and honest and transparent with mine, and I was very vulnerable. And instead of being like, "Oh no, it's okay,"
well, that wasn't even that embarrassing because it's not like you were
just
in
like
public acting crazy.
No,
that
would have
been embarrassing. So it was.
But
like,
you were like, instead of like saying, "You know, I let myself," I was vulnerable for you, and instead you said, "Yeah, I remember that. Wow, what an idiot you were." Going on and on and on.
Well, if you thought it was embarrassing, well.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't do anything embarrassing unless it's something like that. But